The following audio is from LCBC Church. To learn more about LCBC, visit lcbcchurch.com.
All right, I am excited. We're gonna have some fun today because we are beginning a brand new series that we are calling Active Love. So we're gonna get right into it because there's a difference between active love and passive love, okay? I mean, in my life, I know this, you know, as a kid, you didn't really talk about love that much. You know what I'm talking about? When you're a kid, no one talks about love or thinks about love, really. I mean, when you say you love somebody, it's like, yeah, I love my brother because I have to love my brother. It's kind of like expected of me. That's kind of the passive kind of love. It's the love that's assumed. You know, you don't really do much with it, and you wait for feelings for it to be expressed. Now, as I got older, I learned that there are different kinds of love, you know, that there are more active sorts of love, and they get a little awkward. They do. You know, when you're about 12 years old, love is just an awkward thing. I remember walking on the boardwalk with my friend Steve Cassidy, and we saw these two girls, and we were going to like, boy, we're going to pick up these girls, you know, and so we started following them, which is a great way. You know, it's not creepy at all. So we followed them for like a half an hour and in and out of stores. And they were just like giggling, like, what are they doing? Today we would have been arrested, I'm sure. But we basically wound up talking to them. We wound up walking them home. And I remember on the way back, I said to Steve, I was like, Steve, should we tell them we love them? He's like, no, you idiot, you don't do that. It's like Dumb and Dumber on the boardwalk, you know, two boneheads on the boardwalk. And love's awkward at 12 years old. But listen, in the process of adulting, you realize that love is different. You slowly learn what active love looks and feels like. Because active love is really putting your needs aside for the other person's needs. Active love is a love that elicits a response. It shows action. It doesn't rely on feelings. You know, active love is when you get that call from a friend and it's late and you just want to go to bed. You've had a long day and they just want to talk, you know, and they've got stuff they got to work through. And so, you know, you got to leave the house, you pick up a half gallon of ice cream, you go over there and you talk about the drama. So the wee hours of the morning, I see some ladies going like, that's happened to me. He's talking about my life. You know, so active love puts your needs on hold and you give yourself, now listen to that phrase, you give yourself to someone else. That's what active love is. If you've got children, you totally understand this. I mean, you've got this in the bag. It's 3 a.m. and you've got babies. And it's like this beast in the next room, just like, rah! You know, they just want to be up. Why do they want to be up at 3 a.m? And you're just like, no, I got to work in the morning. Why is it? And you come around the corner, and you're like, hello, who's up now? You know, like what happens? Inside, you're like, stop crying. Outside, you're like, who's my little precious? That's an act of love. You know, it puts your needs aside and it says, look, this is more important for me to show my love to this person. Active love is taking care of your elderly parents, you know, and that can be uncomfortable at times, and honestly, sometimes scary. See, active love is demonstrated in a response that considers others' needs as more important than your own. In short, active love, it's easy to see, okay? Active love does something. It's action-based. And so we enter into this series because this month, we're putting our love into action through our initiative that we call Be Rich. Okay, so when you see Be Rich out there, Be Rich is basically our annual thing where you guys give $39.95 and it all goes to other organizations out there somewhere. Nothing comes here. It's one of the best traditions we have here at LCBC. Once a year, we unleash this wave of generosity. And basically, we're making a difference in our communities. And not a penny stays within these walls. It is so good. It is so cool. It is so different. It's all about others, okay? Each LCBC campus has a partner with a local organization. They're doing incredible work in their community, by the way. And all of your donations, all of your giving to Be Rich goes straight to those community organizations that have an impact on people's lives. So listen, we ask you today to give to one of those local nonprofits as a way of giving ourselves to God's work within our communities. And now, listen, we partner with over 78 organizations among all of our locations, 78 of them. Over the last 8 years, you have given $3.2 million to these organizations. I mean, isn't that amazing? Yeah, we can clap for that. It's all right. And you know, we're not clapping for ourselves. We're clapping for the opportunity to be involved in something that God is doing that is major. 5,000 kids we've sponsored globally. Over tens of thousands of hours of work that we have given to our community organizations. That's just been in the last 8 years alone. And listen, this kind of act of love is the foundation of who we are at LCBC, because we're all about others. But it's also the foundation of the global church. I mean, I don't know if you know this, but Christianity pretty much wrote the book on act of love. Honestly, before Christianity made an impact on history, listen, all the gods and goddesses of all the other religions that were real popular out there, it was all about them. Everything about the gods and goddesses was what happened in heaven. Everything here on earth was kind of like, whatever. You know, it doesn't matter what god or goddess tradition you came from, whether it was Atun or Amun-Ra, whether it was Marduk, Zeus, Baal, everything that had like a god or a goddess type of tradition, it was all about what was happening in the heavens. And humans were kind of like this afterthought. It was like the gods and goddesses did stuff in spite of what was happening on earth. But Jesus changed all of that. You see, when Jesus came on the scene, he changed all of that. He filled us in on a story of a God that actually cares about us. In fact, this God has this deep and unending, this chesed love for us. It means it's never, ever, ever gonna fail. Jesus taught us about a God who he called Daddy, okay? Who lavished us with this incredible world we have. It's filled with design and purpose and detail for us, not in spite of us. And it was a complete it was like a complete rethinking of how divinity acts with regard to humans. Now think about this for a minute. It was like Jesus was saying, no, we're not just afterthoughts, we are the thought. See, he told us about this Father God who moved through the Old Testament and freed slaves. And not only that, but then established a nation that moved in rhythm with him. And even when we were trapped in our own sin, God didn't just decide to leave it all behind. He actually stepped into time and he did something about it. See, that's what makes our faith so revolutionary. God stepped into time and history as Jesus himself. See, God could have wiped the slate clean. He could have said, I'm done with it. I don't want anything more to do with this. He could have started a whole new universe. But the Bible says that God actively pursued us. He didn't just forget about us when things went sour. He acted on his love for us in order to save us. That's huge. See, Paul, he's an early follower of Jesus. He puts it like this. He writes in Romans chapter 5. You can check this out sometime. In chapter 5, verse 6, he says this. When we were utterly helpless, Christ came at just the right time for us. And he died for us sinners. Now, most people would not be willing to die for an upright person, though someone might perhaps be willing to die for a person who is especially good. But God showed his great love for us by sending Christ to die for us while we were still sinners. Do you see what I'm saying here? There's this active pursuit type of love. A God that says, no, I don't just love you. I'm going to show you how much I love you. And this is kind of basic Christianity 101, okay? God literally gave himself to us. God showed his love to us by pursuing us with an act of love that was more than just a feeling. God didn't sit up in heaven and just say, I feel your pain. He didn't do that. He acted on his love to save us. Active love doesn't just feel feelings. Active love takes action. It does something. And guys, that's not the end of the story. It doesn't stop there. It continues on. This is where we come in. This is where the church comes in. Now listen, I know the church has had its share of bad decisions and bad leaders. We gotta own up to that. You know, in history, the church has done some pretty horrible things, and we do, we own that. But those are the headlines. See, behind the scenes, the everyday people, the ones who decided to follow Jesus, the ones who didn't fight in the Crusades, the average people, they were imitating the active love of God in their lives throughout history. That's the truth. Like, for example, in Roman times, a father could abandon their children for any reason. Like, as a baby, on the eighth day of their life, they would place the baby right at the foot of the father. And oftentimes, because it was a girl, he would say, I don't want it. And the servant would take that baby out to the wilderness to die. This was a common practice in Roman civilization. You know what the Christians would do? They would follow that servant out to the wilderness at a distance. They would wait for them to plop them down and then scoop them up and raise them as their own. Orphanages are a Christian invention. That's our heritage. That's who we are. When the plagues were ravaging Europe, when people were literally getting out of town to avoid the plague, it was Christians that stayed behind and took care of those people that were infected, helped them die deaths in dignity. And then many times, many of them actually died themselves. That's our heritage, okay? That is what Christianity is all about. And that kind of love is easy to see. Despite what you hear on the news, we have for centuries been the types of Christians like you and me who imitate God, who are just basic Joe Schmo schlubs, who actually try to imitate the power of Christ. And we act on our love. So from the start, this is who we are, okay? This is who we've been for centuries. God served us, and so we serve others. The message that came to us of God serving us now becomes the method in which we interact with this world and we show our act of love. So I want to give you an example of this. I'd like for us to turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 8. 2 Corinthians chapter 8 is a great example of this kind of act of love. So go ahead and turn with me, if you would, to 2 Corinthians chapter 8. Now, it's written by a guy named Paul, and he's an early follower of Jesus. He's writing to a church in Greece. He's asking them to show their love to the other churches. Now remember, churches back then weren't, you know, like big campus-wide type of things. They met in homes. So this particular church in Corinth, there's a bunch of people that met in this home, maybe a large home, someone who's particularly wealthy. They all gathered in their house, and he's saying, look, I want you to think about giving yourself to the Lord by giving some money to another church that really needs it. So chapter 8, verse 1, starts like this. Now I want you to know, dear brothers and sisters, what God in his kindness has done through the churches of Macedonia. They are being tested by many troubles, and they are very poor. But they are also filled with abundant joy, which is overflowed in rich generosity. For I can testify that they gave not only what they could afford, but far more. They did it of their own free will. They begged us again and again for the privilege of sharing in the gift of the believers of Jerusalem. They even did more than we had hoped. For their first action was to give themselves to the Lord and to us, just as God wanted them to do. So we have urged Titus, who encouraged your giving in the first place, to return to you and encourage you to finish the ministry of giving. Since you excel in so many ways in your faith, your gifted speakers, your knowledge. Now, these guys were pretty wealthy, so they had a lot. So he's saying, look, you already have all this other stuff, your enthusiasm, your love from us. I want you to excel also in the gracious act of giving. I'm not commanding you to do this, but I'm testing how genuine your love is by comparing it with the eagerness of the other churches. You know the generous grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. Though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, so that by his poverty he could make you rich. Here's my advice. I love this. He's like, okay, I'm going to give you some advice here. It would be good for you to finish what you started a year ago. Last year, you were the first who wanted to give, and you were the first to begin doing it. Now, you should finish what you started. Let the eagerness you showed in the beginning be matched now by your giving. Give in proportion to what you have. Whatever you give is acceptable if you give it eagerly. And give it according to what you have, not what you don't have. Of course, I don't mean your giving should make life easy for others and hard for yourselves. I only mean that there should be some equality. Right now, you have plenty and can help those who are in need. Later, they will have plenty, and you can share with them when you need it. In this way, things will be equal. As the scriptures say, those who gathered a lot had nothing left over, and those who gathered only a little had enough. Now, let's break this down a little bit, okay? So Paul's just given us some advice on giving. And as a follower of Jesus, Paul is writing to this group in Corinth. It's in southern Greece, and they're pretty wealthy. And he's asking them to send money to another church in Jerusalem. And as he's asking them to be generous, he tells them about this community north of them called Macedonia. And the Macedonians are like mega poor, but they were so generous. And look at that, in verse 2, it says they were super generous. Verse 3, it says they did it of their own free will. In fact, they begged They were begging for the privilege of giving to the believers in Jerusalem. Now remember, Jerusalem's kind of like a big place. It's kind of like our New York City, you know? It's swanky. Like the people there probably could figure out how to get some money somehow. But these believers were really struggling. So these guys in Macedonia who are out in the middle of nowhere, they're like in Hickville, you know, like ding, 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 ding. They're out there, right? And then they're sending money to the metropolitan areas. I mean, it's just pretty amazing. And Paul says, look, they didn't just give money. They gave themselves, verse 5, look at it. They gave themselves to the Lord. Now, circle that, underline that, do whatever you need to do, because we're going to come back to that. Verse 5, they gave themselves to the Lord. We're going to see what that means in a second. So Paul, he's talking to those people in Corinth, and he's like, look, can you be just as generous as the Macedonians? And then in verse 8, if you look in verse 8, he says, hey, this isn't a command. It's your choice. But it can be a test of the genuineness of your love. Is it passive love or is it active love? Like you're really gonna do something with it? And then I love in verse 9, Paul goes back to Jesus and he says, hey, look what Jesus did. He had all the riches of being God. Now I can't even get that. Like, what does it feel like to be God? You know? Like you know everything, you can read every thought, like you have all the riches of the world, you have everything, right? But he set all that aside to become human as Jesus. So Jesus was both fully God and fully human, but he set something aside in order to become human, right? And he didn't just live among us. He didn't just say, well, this is how you should live, but he died for us. Now think about this for a minute. Jesus, when he died for us, he gave up eternal life so that we could have eternal life. He emptied himself of the riches of eternal life so that you could have eternal life. I mean, take a moment to think about that, how God became poor so you could become rich. And that's what I mean when I say the method has to become the message. In other words, what Jesus did for us doesn't end with us. We don't say, thank you. We say, okay, now let me do that for others. How can I lay aside some of my riches so others can benefit? And see, that's what we imitate in active love. Active love is imitating the gift that Jesus gave to us. So look, today, just like Paul, just like in this letter, I'm asking you to be generous, okay? As we start this Be Rich initiative, I'm asking you to be generous with the organizations we partner with. But I want us to follow Paul's advice on how to be generous, because I think he gives some great advice in verse 10 and on. First, in verse 10, look at that. It says, notice, this is not a command. He's not saying you must do this. You don't have to give money to please God. Don't let anybody sell you that. That's a lie. You won't get one extra ounce of God's love if you give today. That's not how it works. This isn't a transaction. It's an invitation. It's an invitation to be rich with what God has given you. And then Paul says, look, if you're going to give, give what you can. Give with eagerness. Verse 11 paints a picture of someone who can't wait to jump in and help. Like, ooh, can I do it? It's not about this guilt thing. It's not like, well, you really should have given. No, it's like, who wants to? Who wants to do this? See, I remember when we were growing up, my family, we would go to church sometimes. We were one of those like real ecclesial churches, real liturgical churches, okay? We had like the organ, you know, and I love organs, honestly. Like sometimes I'll go to like those Christmas services and I'm like, oh, that organ just rocks it, you know? But this church, particularly whenever there was the offering going on, you know, they pass out like the basket or the plate or whatever it was, and then they hit this like 14th century medieval thing, and it's just like, you just wanna like go somewhere and sleep for 8 hours. It's like, and the whole place is like, and you know the plate's coming around. It's this like gold plate. And I could just feel my dad's like unease as he reaches for his wallet, like, oh crud, like now I gotta get money to this thing? I just wanna go eat some like grilled cheese and soup and like sleep on a couch for the rest of the day. Like that's how it makes you feel, that music. So I feel my dad's like, I don't wanna, and so I see him reach through his wallet and he just puts a dollar in the plate. Now listen, I'm guilty. I'm sure you've been guilty. You see the, oh wait, we're all giving something. Oh, I'll do the bare minimum. It's social pressure. That's all it is. It's not like, oh wait, let me do it. It's more like, everybody else is doing it. I just want to fit in. This thing's going to come by. I'm going to have something to put in. Look, I got something to put in. And you cover it up so they can't see it's a dollar. You know what I mean? You ever do that? You just put it real tight in there and you're like, yep, I put it in there. You wish it was like a big, huge thing. You could just go like, $1 million right in there. I just did it. So look, he's talking about the person who can't wait to help out. The person who's eager to help out. Look, then Paul gives us advice. I want you to hear this. Listen, when you give, remember two things. First, give according to what you have. No one's asking you to give more than you have. Verse 13 says this, don't punish yourselves. So he's saying, look, on the one hand, if you know that there are people in need, don't just put in the bare minimum. Actually give with eagerness and according to what you have. In other words, think about what you can do, not what you have to do. There's nothing you have to do. Think about what you can do. And see, I don't know, I get in this mindset a lot. I do this often. I grow tomatoes in the summer often. I love growing tomatoes. You know, when they become ripe, that's when I go into hoard mode. And I don't know why. You know, I have like 100 tomatoes and I'm like, I gotta hold on to them. I gotta make salsa and spaghetti sauce. And I gotta have people over. We're gonna have a spaghetti sauce and we're gonna have some bread and everybody's gonna be happy and I'm gonna mamanja. And I just feel good. And that's how I think in my head. Like, I'm pure Italian and everything that I have grown personally now will help the whole community. And it never happens. No, it happened once. I made about 5 pounds of salsa that sat in the freezer for like 2 years. My wife was like, can we please get rid of this? No one's eating it. And I'm like, but it's good. I mean, like, what if the power goes out? We've got salsa. This is what happens. I get like 100 tomatoes, I hoard them, and I never do anything with them, and they rot, okay? Paul's saying, look, you have 100 tomatoes, and there are people that need tomatoes. Give according to what you have. Be eager with what you have. Doesn't matter whether it's 10 or all 100. Just be eager. Don't hold on to what you have for fear of not having someday. That's not what God did with you. That's not what Jesus did with us. I can't lay aside my godness. I'm God. No, he laid it aside so you could be rich. The whole idea is to be rich with what God has blessed you with. But then he goes on to warn us. He says this, don't give so much that you hurt yourself. And I love this. Don't overextend yourself. You know, don't run up debt trying to look magnanimous. This isn't about hurting yourself. Listen to me, sacrificial giving isn't painful. Sacrificial giving is not painful. You don't get points from God for how much you bleed. That's weirdo religion, okay? We're not about weirdo religion here. Paul isn't saying skip a mortgage payment or go without heat this winter. No, he's saying joyfully sacrifice a month's worth of coffees at Starbucks or give up getting a couple outfits at Old Navy so that you can help some community organizations to do their ministry. No one's gonna notice, how come you haven't bought a new outfit in a while? You know, no one's gonna notice that. Really, the goal here is equality. Look in verse 14, he says, there's an ebb and a flow. Right now, there are community organizations within reach of each campus that have needs, and you and I are able to help them. What Paul has in mind here is that there may be a time that you might need them to help you. Maybe. So this idea isn't so much about charity, it's about equality. So this is why we're trying to be active with our love today. And we want to seek to be like the Church of Jesus and reach out to those people in our community that have needs. Now, this week, I actually visited one of our Be Rich partners. It's one of our Be Rich partners for the Manheim campus. And let me show you how blown away I was. In this video, you're going to see what we gave to last year, the last few years, of how it helps young kids who are coming home from school, have nowhere to go, to have a community center. This is Cornerstone Youth Center.
All right, I want to take you on a tour of the Cornerstone Youth Center. It's our partner organization from the Manheim campus. Check this place out. Can you imagine coming here as a kid? I mean, this place is amazing. What you gave helped build this ramp. It helped put in that giant fan and this climbing wall. This was your doing? This room, oh my gosh, look, the guitars, the drum set. I mean, I would be here for hours. As a high schooler, I was just learning how to play guitar. I would be in this place with my band practicing every day. And it's the intentionality of this place. I mean, look, they've got computers here for kids after school. This is a quiet space. They can print out of the printing station. They have mentors that can help them with their schoolwork. I love that we partner with this organization because they've thought of everything. So this is the gathering space. This is where, you know, you kind of have like youth group, what they call time with God. They hear about Jesus, and then they get into groups with mentors and volunteers from the community, and they figure out what it means for their lives. All right, so look, this whole like minute-long tour is just all about showing you what's real, okay? We're not just throwing money at some kind of problem somewhere. All of our campuses are partnering with real community organizations to see tangible life change, and that is something I want to be a part of.
So that is just one of 78 partner organizations that all of our locations are invested in for this weekend. All of our locations have partnerships like this. Some have many partners, it's not just one. Like for example, at the Ephrata campus, we are partnering with CrossNet Ministries. This year, we are going to give to help renovate and furnish 8 apartments in a building that is for homeless families. So if you're homeless, you get to stay in these places. In Harrisburg, there's a program called NutriPacks. They had to cancel it because NutriPacks was sending home, they would send home food with low-income students, and the jars that they were giving them were glass, so they had to cancel the program. We are gonna give money this year for them to have plastic jars and restart the program for the rest of the school year. At Clark Summit, we're partnering with Life Catalyst. It's an organization that helps people with drug and alcohol addiction. We are actually gonna be providing the curriculum and the materials to train the mentors to reach these people. In York, the York Benevolence Association wants to store more food, but the place where they're storing their extra food, the roof is leaking, so they can't use it anymore. So we're gonna fix the roof so they can store more food and we can reach more people. At the Branch Creek location, this is really cool. One of the organizations we're reaching is Bethany Christian Services. It is so cool what they're doing. There are Afghan refugees that have come straight over from Afghanistan. They have nothing. They come into this country with absolutely zilch. We are helping them with food, rent, medicine, furniture, whatever it is that you need coming into a country for the first time with nothing. Now listen, that's only 5 locations. Okay, and some of these locations have multiple partners that they're reaching. So this blows me away when I think, man, when we're talking about others, when we're talking about reaching others with Be Rich, listen, LCBC doesn't do this as a pitch, okay? This is not some tactic to get people into the doors or anything like that. It's an effort to help people take their next step with Jesus and hopefully introduce them to a relationship with Christ. So we know that there are ministries and efforts within our communities that are doing amazing things. We just want to come alongside them and help them. It's not a pyramid scheme. Not one ounce of that money comes to us. It is an opportunity, listen, to give ourselves to the Lord. And that's the phrase I want us to come back to, because I think that's what really is at the bottom of all this, to give ourselves to the Lord. Paul talks about how in verse 5, they gave themselves to the Lord. And it is interesting that he mentions giving yourself to the Lord in the act of money giving. When I hear that phrase, like give yourself to the Lord, I think of nunneries. You know, I think of like being locked away somewhere, some super spiritual thing, like going on a prayer retreat for a week or fasting for days. But they gave themselves to the Lord in sending their money. I mean, it looks different for each person, but when you give yourself to the Lord, you think what you can do, and then you sacrifice for the sake of someone else, and that's where your money goes. Listen, this is like good news for us. Giving yourselves to the Lord, we can do this. You don't have to fast for a week. You don't have to pledge your life to a life of celibacy. No, you just swipe a card. It's that easy. So having it be that easy, I just want to give us one caution here. Here's one I want us to be careful about. Because it is easy doesn't mean we should go cheap. We need to listen to Paul's words. Go ahead and look in verse 3 real quick. Verse 3 says this, they gave not only what they could afford, but far more, and they did it of their own free will. They didn't just give what they could, they gave more. They had to think about it, but then they were eager to give more, okay? They wanted to do more because they knew it was something that was eternal. And we're challenging every person here at all our locations and online to give $39.95 to our partner organizations today. And honestly, we just set $39.95 as just like, I don't know, it's just a number. You know, it's just a starting point for us. To be honest, most of us could afford $39.95 without a blink. It's just like, yeah, sure. And the temptation is gonna be to run the card, write the check, and get on with the day. But what I want us to do is just hold here for a second and say, let's not be cheap with this. Let's think about this a little bit. You know that feeling you get when you're buying something and you're not sure whether you can afford it? I get that a lot for some reason. You know, it's like you think to yourself, like, well, I like these shoes or I like these jeans or whatever it is, but, you know, I don't know, maybe, you know, it's not going to set you back in this major way. It's not like you're going to be in a food line in months, but you're like, do I really need this? It causes you to think twice about the purchase. You know that feeling, right? I want us to get there. I think that's the point we're looking for when we talk about giving ourselves to the Lord. It shouldn't be mindless. Swiping a card without thinking isn't giving yourself to anything. You don't give yourself to the Lord cheaply, right? When it isn't cheap, you check your core. When it isn't cheap, you say to yourself, do I really want this? You wander around the store, at least I do. You know, when I'm looking at something, I'm deliberating, should I get it? I wander around the store and I think, well, maybe if I take the shoes back or maybe if I pull back a little bit in this area, whatever, I can really afford this. And some of you guys probably wandered around, you know, you've seen me in stores and you see me wandering around and like, why doesn't that guy even say hi? I know him from LCBC and I'm really in my head, I'm going, can I afford this? Maybe I'll take the trampoline back. The kids will be mad, but, you know, so it's that kind of thing. So today we want to ask you to have that mentality of like, what can we give up? The temptation is going to be to put the dollar in the basket and let it just go by, right? That's going to be the temptation. But, you know, I can afford $39.95, so I'll just do that and move on. You know, let's go on to lunch. Let's go watch the Eagles lose. But listen, don't make it cheap. Don't make $39.95 something you cross off your list. If you think you can do twice that amount, figure it out. Say to yourself, okay, the next time I go out with friends, I'm not gonna get like whatever the special is. I'm just gonna get a glass of water. I'm just gonna hang out with my friends. I'm gonna do like three times and that's $39.95. That's how I'm gonna recoup the $39.95 I'm gonna spend today. Or, you know what, I'm gonna do double that. I'm gonna do $80 and skipping Starbucks four times a week for the next month, there's your $80. And yeah, you'll go through withdrawal and you'll hate people and you'll probably wind up in jail, but that's okay because you've given $80. Now listen, some of you should be thinking, honestly, and I know this might sound crass, but some of you should be thinking $39.95, but probably should be more like $399.95 because you know you can afford it. You know that's where you're going, ooh, that's my point. And some are even higher. Some of you are higher, you've got a lot of resources that you can say like, man, I should be given to this. Maybe you wanna lower your cable plan next year. Just go back to basic, because you stream anything anyhow. And then all that extra, you give to something like this. So listen, I really want you to think through this and don't just throw your money at it. Give to where you have to think about it. Give yourself to the Lord. I mean, this should be like your way that you're giving yourself to the Lord. And look, I get it. Like, I grew up in a family, we didn't have a whole lot of money. My dad was an art teacher. My mom stayed home with us. There were four of us, okay? We were not that kind of family that gave out money a lot. And I remember when I was in college, I wanted to spend a summer in Branson, Missouri with a Christian group. It was like a mission trip for the summer. And it cost a lot of money to go there. And I said, Mom, Dad, I will raise all the money for it. I'll work extra, whatever. I just want to be able to do that. And you could actually work there in the summer and then like raise money for college and stuff like that. So my mom and dad were like, no, you need to work. You need to work and get money for college. We can't do this. This is extra money. There's no way we can do it. And we just fought and fought and fought and fought and fought. And finally, I won the right to do it, and I raised all the money, I worked extra, you know, I came up with all the extra money, and they finally let me go, but it was like a battle. And on the morning, I had everything all packed up in my 1980 Dodge Omni, and I was on my way to Branson, Missouri, and had everything like packed to the gills. My mom came out. And you know, it had been tense the last few weeks. And she came out, and she was pulling her jacket tight. And I noticed something very, very different about her. You know, she wasn't mad. She wasn't anything, but she just looked sad. And man, that's when it hit me, like, maybe they were arguing and saying, you know, don't go to this mission trip thing because they just miss me. And like, I saw the human side of her. Like, you don't see the human side of your mom all that often, you know, especially when you want to get your way. But that morning, I just saw it. there she was, and her eyes were just looking at me. And she's usually real talkative. I mean, if she were on the stage right now, she'd sing and dance. You know what I mean? So she's like very loud, effusive, you know, just like pulled you close, gave you a hug and a kiss. And I'm waiting for the big showy demonstration of like, I'm gonna miss you. And she was just so quiet. She just pulled her jacket up. She came up to me and she put three $20 bills in my hand. Man, it could have been like $1 million. I was like, Mom, you don't need to do this. Like, we didn't have $60. And she didn't even say anything. You know, so her eyes were welling up. I was starting to get a little teary. And in a weird way, I can't explain. It was like she was coming with me now. You know, it was like she was giving me a piece of herself. I didn't want to spend those bills. I wanted to save those bills. They were like my mom. It was a part of her. It wasn't like she just threw $5 at me and says, here's money for tolls. You know, it wasn't something that she just swiped real quickly. This was a lot of money. I mean, it was a lot of money. And it told me that she believed in me. It told me that she wanted me to do well. It told me she loved me. She was giving herself to me. That's what giving yourself to the Lord is. You become a part of these organizations. It's not just money. It's a piece of you. Listen, your money that you give today, nothing goes to LCBC at all. Not me, not one staff person, nothing. This goes directly to those kids who need a quiet place to study because the home life's not that great. Or the families from Afghanistan that have no place to go and they just need a roof over their heads. That's where your money goes. A place where they can see the love of Christ played out in their lives. Your money goes with them. And maybe this is our moment. Maybe this is our moment to break the myth of the selfish and the fake church. We get to be a part of the church that has for centuries given themselves to the Lord by helping those in need. Let's pray. Father, in these next few moments, I pray that you just kind of nudge us. When we think through this challenge of giving $39.95, God, I pray that you would tell us what it is that you want us to give. Maybe it's like my mom, you know, she put $60 out there. Man, that could have been all the money in the world. But God, I pray that you would lead us in this and how we can give ourselves to you as we leave here. And God, I pray that as we give ourselves to you and we give ourselves to this work, that we can really feel a part of what you're doing in our communities. And I just thank you for this privilege. I thank you for Paul for giving us this wisdom. And I thank you for Jesus who's given us so much, who's made us rich well beyond this life. So Father, I pray that as we do what we're about to do, I pray that we can be rich with what you've given us. I pray this in Jesus' name, amen. So look, we usually finish with a real touching song or something like that, but today our closing is you. It's you giving yourself to the Lord on your way out of here. If you're in one of our buildings right now, the gift stations are right outside. You'll see the green and the white balloons. The green balloons are if you have a cash gift. The white balloons if you have a credit or a debit card that you'd like to use. Or maybe the simplest way is to give through the LCBC app. You can also go on lcbcchurch.com/be rich. You can give there. If you're watching this online, you can just stay on the couch. You don't have to move. LCBC Be Rich. You can text LCBC Be Rich to 20022. So listen, thank you. Thank you for giving yourself to the Lord and joining LCBC and making an impact all over Eastern Pennsylvania. May the Lord bless you and protect you. May the Lord smile on you and be gracious to you. May the Lord show you his favor and give you his peace.